these together, Lord, and that we come, Lord, expecting to hear from you tonight, Lord, in this little Bible study, dear God. I pray, dear God, for Brother Paul, Sister Susie, Lord, are out of town, that you'd be with them and watch over them, God. And we ask, God, that you just continue, Lord, to be with us in this service, Lord, as you have come down, Lord, during the worship part, Lord, that you'll come now, Father, and open the word to us. And you know the needs of the people, and we're asking for you to minister through us to them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll just go through this chapter a little bit at a time. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. These eight verses are pretty straightforward. You know, if you've got a matter between brethren in the church, why, we ought to be able to settle it among ourselves. That's what Paul is saying. And evidently, they had some issues there in the church of Corinth. And they evidently were getting the law involved. Paul doesn't go into any type of detail to say what the issues were. But it's not the issues that what was important. What was important is that, you know, if we're going to be able to judge the world and judge angels, can we not take and judge matters that are in our own midst, is what Paul was saying. And, you know, there has been some times that we've seen in the message where brothers have went to the law over certain things, and you know, they really shouldn't have done that, and nothing really good come from it. But I wanted to point out here, Paul says in verse 7, why do you not rather take wrong? In other words, allow yourself to be wronged. Just take it. Why do we always got to be so defensive of ourselves? He says, why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? You know, sometimes you say, well, I've been wronged. Well, just suck it up and go on. That's what Paul is saying here. You know, instead of making such a big deal about it. Let's go on to verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. So he names off all these things and then says, you know, then it brings up, you know, this should make us think and look back on our lives, what we come from. Right. And to not be so quick to look down our nose at somebody else. Because, as he said, such were some of you, but were washed, it says, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we're, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace. Isn't that right? We're all sinners saved by grace. And so we're not one any bigger than the other. Brother Branham says here in the message of gospel right away, he says, notice this, he says, sometimes we refer to people like myself that go forth and praying for the sick and having success. That don't mean I go to heaven. The person that really gets there will be a little surprised when he got there. And then he goes to the scripture and says, because many in that day will say, when were you naked, Lord, and we clothed thee? When were you hungry and we fed you? When were you in prison and we visited you? And he said, insomuch you've done it unto these, my brethren, you did it unto me. They, see, it'll be people that didn't even think they were worthy to get there. You know, there's not a one of us can stand up and say, I feel worthy. In ourselves, we're not worthy. We have no righteousness save outside of Christ's righteousness. And he goes on and says, and when we think we have some kind of a big shot, how are we ever going to have the spirit to get there? Sometimes I wonder when we take that attitude that we're bigger than somebody else, better than somebody else, our church is a larger number or bigger or something, how are we ever going to make it like that when the robe that was made them all look alike, now he's talking about the wedding garment that was given to them when they were, when in the Eastern custom, when they would come to the wedding supper, why they met at the door, and no matter what status in life they came from, they all received a robe that looked just like the others. And so when they come in to sit down at the wedding supper, why the poorest person looked just like the richest person. And there wasn't no difference between them. And so Brother Branham's saying, and in the sight of God, we all look alike. We're sinners saved by grace. We must recognize that from the richest to the poorest, from the best dressed to the worst dressed, as the outside dressing has nothing to do with it, it'll perish. But the inside is what lasts. I'd rather have my spirit covered with the robe of his holiness than to have the best suits that could be bought in all the world. Such were some of you. You know, Brother Ram says here, this is in the Ephesian church age, says, no matter how just and upright a Christian is before the public and how gracious he is to his fellow man, doing naught but good, let him confess Christ as his Savior and acknowledge the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he'll be condemned. Now listen to this. The spirit of this world hates the Spirit of God. And because it can't overcome the Spirit of the Lord, it tries to destroy the vessel in whom the Spirit dwells. That's what Satan tries. He can't overcome God. So what he tries to do is he tries to destroy you. And, you know, as we so often say, he battles us in our mind. And, there's... You can't win a battle with him by following his tactics. In other words, you can't sit and reason with the devil. You can't reason him away. You can't think him away. You know, the thing about it is, when you recognize that it's the devil moving, Brother Branham says, recognize his tactics. When you recognize it's the devil moving, just stop it right there. You know, persecutions and trials, Brother Branham says, are a natural, normal part of Christian life. You know, we've been preaching on overcoming, and we've said, you know, it's a constant battle. You're not going to receive some magic thing that's all of a sudden just going to make you, we're still in this flesh body. And this flesh is weak. Paul says the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And because we're in this flesh, then, you know, that's why we're going to have a battle. And it's a natural part of Christian life. You know, when you're going, trying to go the right way, you're going against the grain. You're going against the world. You're going against the flow of traffic of the world that's going the other way. You know, and so you're going to face opposition. And the thing, you know, we're saved by grace. It's not by your works. You know, many times we, as humans, we get to thinking, well, we've done this or that and been this good for this long, and we get to feeling pretty good about ourselves. But, Lord, it's not your works that saves you. It's the grace of God that saves you. Because if it was our works, the Bible says, then we could boast about it. But we're his workmanship, the Bible says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we're not, it's by grace, every one of us. We're just sinners saved by grace. Paul says in verse 12, let's go to verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. I was reading through these things, and Brother Branham talked about this scripture, and he brought out how the things we do for God, we don't do it because, well, that it's a law. We don't do it because, you know, he brought this around to legalism, that people set down these do's and don'ts and you know, go by these rules, in other words. But he brings an example and says, you know, he says, if I was going somewhere, he said, my wife wouldn't have to come up to me and say, now, while you're gone, don't you be going around with any other women. He said, I wouldn't. Even though I know that she'd forgive me, I wouldn't do it because I love her. And he says the same thing with our serving God. We do what we come to church, not because it's a law to come to church. We come to church because we love the Lord. Because we love his word, because we love hearing his word. And we serve God because we love him, not because we're afraid of going to hell. You know, people that try to serve God because they're afraid of going to hell, friends, I'm going to tell you something, they're not going to miss hell. Because they're trying to do something without it actually coming from their heart. And when it comes from your heart, that's when it really means something. Paul goes on in verse 14 and said, and God hath both raised up the Lord, will also raise us up by his power. Now, you know, when you read through this, you know, I wondered, you know, it seemed like Paul would talk on this thing, then he would talk on that thing, then he would talk on something else within this same chapter. And but I imagine there were many things he was having to address to the Corinthian church. And so, You know, we look at this and say, God hath both raised up the Lord, will also raise us up by his power. Then we know, friends, look, we can't pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It takes God to lift us up. But also, he raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. And what this scripture is saying is, we have that promise. If we leave this life, then we shall raise again. And, you know, the thing about it is, this body can die, but you can never die. You can't no more die than God can die. If you're eternal, then you always were eternal. There wasn't a starting point that you became eternal. There may have been a starting point in you serving God in this life, but there wasn't a starting point in you being a child of God. You always were a child of God. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that man doth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We mentioned this scripture on Sunday, actually, and when we were talking about the things of healing and taking care of yourself, you know, your physical being, this, you know, what you do to this body belongs to the Lord. You're a temple of the Lord. And so you ought to keep that in mind. Friends, I'll tell you something. If you'll realize you belong to God, and as we go on reading here, it says, for ye are bought with a price. God bought us. And how did he purchase us? On Calvary. Now, you know, God couldn't have just another one of us come and die for everybody and it save everybody and free everybody from their sin. God had to come down and do it himself. So he come down in his son, Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus died and shed his blood, that was for our salvation. And that was him paying the price. The ultimate price, which was his life. And so it says, for ye are bought with a price. So we belong to him. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it belongs to him. And, you know, as I said, you know, Brother Adam said, you know, trials and persecutions, that it's normal in the Christian walk. You're going to have it. And you say, well, then what do I do with that? How do I combat these things? In the message of desperations, Brother Branham talks about when Jesus came into the Garden of Gethsemane before, and he knew he was going to be crucified. And remember him praying and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And the Bible says he prayed three times and then said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That was his struggle with his flesh. You know, and he had to overcome that. And Brother Branham says that this, he said, our dear Lord Jesus himself in the world's greatest battleground, Gethsemane, he cried out in despair. Should he take the sins of the world or should he remain on earth with his beloved disciples? What he wanted to do. But watch his humility as he humbled himself. He said, not my will, but thine be done. Humbled himself to the word, the promised word of God of heaven. Notice then, he went a little further. And you remember in the scripture when it was, he asked the disciples to pray with him. And then he went off a little further to pray. And that's what Brother Branham's talking about. He says, if he went a little further, how much more ought we to go a little further? And notice the scripture says here in Luke, he prayed earnestly. Brother and sister, if Jesus had to pray earnestly, how much more have we got to pray earnestly? If the Christ, the God of heaven made flesh, had to pray earnestly, then how much more are we sinners saved by grace to pray earnestly? See, if that decision throw the Son of God into despair, what will it do to you and I? Desperately, we must cry. You know, praying to God, many times, you know, friends, people just pray. It's like it's just a passing thing. You know, they don't want to spend any time on it. They don't want to, you know, and there's times where God will make you get desperate about it. He made Jacob, remember, Jacob had to get desperate. Here he was on this side of the river, and he was going to have to go on the other side to face his brother, whom, you know, his brother thought he had defrauded him of the blessing from the father, and Esau. And so here he was on this side, and he got desperate. He needed a touch from God. And he got desperate enough that he kept praying until a ladder descended from heaven and angels came down. And Jacob caught a hold of the angel, and the Bible says he wrestled with him all night. Wouldn't let him go. Now listen to this, friends. A man, a human being, wrestling around with an angelic being. And he was so desperate, the angel couldn't get away from him, that the angel actually said, let me go, for the day is breaking. And Jacob said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. See, he got desperate. And when he got desperate, and God had him get to a place of desperation. And many times God brings us down to a place where we come to desperation. We've got to have, you know, friends, look, if you were dying of cancer and the doctors had given you up and said there's no hope for you, then, you know, you would have to get desperate before God, because it would take God to have to do something. Otherwise, that'd be all there was. And, you know, I realize that, you know, when it's your time to go, something's got to take you out of here. But I also believe that when it's your time to go, that you'll come at peace with that. I've seen people that when, you know, they were dying and you know, I've seen them, you know, sick from deathly diseases and desperate before God, and God come down and heal them and save their life. But then I've seen them later on actually come down to the time of death, And it's time for them to go, and all of a sudden there's a change in their whole persona. There's a change in their attitude about it. There's a peace like that comes to them. I believe they realize it's my time to go. And, you know, like the one woman that Brother Branham had prayed for, and she was in the hospital, and, you know, she told her husband, said, I'm going home. And he said, yeah, you're going to get out. You're healed. You're going to get out. You're going to go home. She said, no, that's not the home I'm talking about. She said, I'm going to heaven. And then she passed away. And Brother Branham, remember that, Brother Branham's a little upset about it because of what God had told him and how he had prayed for her, and God had healed her and then turned around and took her. And Brother Branham was a little upset about it. But then after some time, the Lord told him, said, go ask her mother if this incident happened where she was out and had actually drowned and they brought her back. And so Brother Branham went and asked her mother and said, yes, that happened. And the Lord told him, said, that wasn't her time to go. So I spared her because she wasn't ready to go. But then later she gets ready to go and God takes her. And, you know, there's always maybe some circumstance, some sickness, some illness, something that will take us out of this life. But, friends, if there's something in you driving you in desperation to take a hold of God, amen, you know, God can save your life. He can spare your life. He is the Lord, our healer. Bought with the price. We belong to Him. We're God's children. Amen. And if we're God's children, then it kind of takes us back to the first part of this chapter that we started with. And if we, you know, if the Bible says, it says, if your brother has aught against you, go to him. You know, and see if you can get things right. I've preached out of this scripture many times where it says, and such were some of you. And I've looked at these verses of scripture many times and looked at these things that where it says, Paul describes these different things. Of course, we know what many of them, it's pretty self-explanatory. We know fornicators, adulterers. Effeminate means it's when you're dealing with feminine men, if I put it that way, the man who's feminine. Abusers themselves of mankind, that's homosexuality. And then thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And you know, the thing is, we look back at what we could, each of us look back at what we came from. And know that God, it was God that saved us from that. I don't know how people get to feeling so self-righteous. And, you know, then they forget where they come from, forget where God brought them from. And then they don't, you know, it took grace of God for us. So we ought to be able to have grace for others. And by having grace for others, I'm talking about, look, having patience. Let God work in others' lives. You know, you can't, when a baby's born, you can't expect it, well, you know what, you start walking tomorrow. It ain't going to happen. You know, and it's the same thing with when a Christian is first born. You know, the friends, let grace work in their lives. And not, look, friends, we've got enough condemnation around us. The devil constantly bringing condemnation to us. He points out our mistakes. He points out our failures. And it's all about to try to make us feel bad. It's a mind game. And you know, the thing about it is, it's God's grace that we make it by anyhow. There's a song that says, Lord, help me to be merciful to others just like you've been merciful to me. And we that's why I say we need to have grace for one another. We're all human. We all make mistakes. But not one of us is better than the other. We're all just sinners saved by grace. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. And Lord, we have come here with your word, and we've studied out of this chapter, Lord. Lord, we could have took parts of it, Lord, and preached long on them, Lord, but I felt, Lord, tonight just to go directly to the points, dear Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father, now your blessings on the people. I pray that you'll help them with their personal battles, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that you'll bless them, each one, Lord. We ask in Jesus Christ's name.